On Monday, May 1st at 1 p.m., members of New Orleans Workers' Center for Racial Justice's Congress of Day Laborers, along with Stand with Dignity and other faith, labor, and community allies, gathered in Louis Armstrong Park to begin the May Day March, marking National Day Without Immigrants and Beyond the Moment movement. The march eventually stopped in front of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Building, known as ICE, to drop off an application to release Ms. Yamie Galindo Madrid.
Yamie has two little girls, 1 and 3 years old, and now both of their parents are in ICE detention, and no one is left to care for them. That's why we need ICE to release Yamie today.
Release now!
Spoke with Chloe Segal.
My name is Chloe Segal, C-H-L-O-E-S-I-G-A-L, and I'm an organizer with the Congress of Day Laborers at the New Orleans Workers' Center for Racial Justice.
And William Diaz.
My name is William Diaz, W-E-L-L-E. I am D-E-A-Z.
So my name is William Diaz, and that's W-I-L-L-I-A-M, Diaz, D-I-A-Z, and I'm a member of the Congress of Day Laborers.
William spoke in Spanish, and Chloe translated, as well as adding her own insights. We speak about Yamie's case and cases like Yamie's. We talk about current anti-immigrant bills in the state legislature and the interconnectedness of immigrant rights, human rights, and criminal justice reform.
Pues el motivo por el que paramos en la frente de las oficinas de ICE fue para en apoyo al caso de Yamie Galindo y su esposo, que fueron detenidos por oficiales de ICE, y pedirle que puedan liberarlos, porque pues ellos dependen, bueno, tienen dos hijas y sus hijas dependen de ellos, de sus padres. Y es algo muy duro, muy frustrante ver a dos pequeños seres que pues no tienen idea de las leyes de los países y todo eso. Y ese fue el motivo por el cual paramos ahí. Pues ahora estamos esperando respuesta de la oficina de ICE. Estamos, bueno, pidiéndole a Dios, estamos rogándole que haya una respuesta positiva para que ella pueda reunirse con sus hijas y que las niñas también puedan estar con ellas. Ese es lo que estamos esperando ahora.
So the reason that we stopped in front of the ICE building was because we wanted to talk about the case of Yamie Galindo and her husband. So both of them were detained by immigration. They were arrested, and now they're each being held at separate facilities. And we were there more than anything for their daughters. They have two young daughters, 1 and 3 years old. And it's really frustrating and heartbreaking to think that these two young girls, these two little creatures who don't know anything about the different immigration laws of different countries are the ones who are being affected by these policies, and that they're alone right now. So we wanted to do something about that.
And what is the status of the case right now? I know that Yamie particularly has a lot of community support and a lot of community backing, so what process in the case are we in right now?
¿Y cuál es el estatus del caso ahorita? Yo sé que Yamie tiene bastante apoyo comunitario. ¿Cuál es el estatus?
Pues ahora estamos esperando respuesta de la oficina de ICE. Estamos, bueno, pidiéndole a Dios, estamos rogándole que haya una respuesta positiva para que ella pueda reunirse con sus hijas y que las niñas también puedan estar con ellas. Ese es el, lo que estamos esperando ahora.
Right now we're waiting for a response from ICE. Yesterday we turned in an application for Yemi's release in the morning, and now we're just hoping to God that ICE grants that application and then she'll be released.
And who are the decision makers in that application process? Do y'all know who those decision makers are? And then do you feel like that family value, you know, appealing to that side of we care about these daughters so much and this is how family kind of plays into it, does that push that case forward? Does that help appeal to them?
Entonces, dice, ¿quiénes son los, las personas que toman la decisión en este caso? ¿Y crees que este ángulo de las familias, de mantener unidas las familias, es algo que va a ayudar a que ellas salgan? Yo puedo contestarlas.
Mm-hmm.
So the decision makers in this case really, you know, really is ICE itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we turned that application into ICE directly. ICE has discretion, right? The local New Orleans ICE field office has discretion to determine how it's going to use its own resources. And according to them, they're supposedly focusing on people who pose a threat to the community. We've heard Donald Trump talk about quote-unquote bad hombres and whatever. But I think that what we see in this case is the exact opposite of that, right? They are taking advantage of the fact that we live in the mass incarceration capital of the world. So Yemi was originally arrested by Gretna police, and she was charged because she was babysitting children, and one of the children fell, and in the hospital the doctor said, well, who was there at the time? And the mother said, it was Yemi. But ICE took advantage of that situation. Even though she was released from criminal custody and no charges had even been accepted, ICE arrested Yemi, and now she's been separated from her children for weeks. So we can kind of see that they, you know, they're saying that they're focusing on one thing, and actually what they're focusing on is criminalizing undocumented communities and separating families. And we do believe that you know, the community outcry that we've seen here is going to make a difference because ICE does still have that discretion. According to them, they take humanitarian factors into consideration when making decisions about the use of discretion. And, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens. This is kind of a test to see if they're actually standing by those stated principles.
Entonces, quiero saber un poco más información sobre el caso de Yemi. Han dicho que ella estaba huyendo de violencia doméstica en su país de Honduras. Y también quiero saber cuáles son las intersecciones entre el sistema criminal. Mencionaste que vivimos en el Capitolio de la encarcelación masiva del mundo. ¿Cómo eso impacta un caso así de migración? Yo puedo hablar sobre el asilo.
So yeah, you mentioned that Yemi fled Honduras originally. She's fleeing violence there. And I guess Yemi's case shows us and reminds us exactly what's wrong with the way that we treat and consider asylum seekers in this country. You know, the asylum system or the immigration court system is one where you're hearing life and death cases. But they're treated as if they were traffic cases. People don't have the right to an attorney, and it's very difficult for people often to understand the different court processes. And so even though Yemi actually does have a viable immigration relief claim, and even though she passed a credible fear interview when she first entered the country, she still ended up with a deportation order. And now we're trying to do everything we can to see how we can remedy that. And there are lots of people who fall into that exact same category. In terms of criminalization and the way that that interacts with immigration, I mean, we see them as one and the same, right? ICE is the biggest law enforcement agency in the country, and we think that there is no difference between our system of mass immigration detention, we have the largest immigration detention system in the world, and our system of mass incarceration. They're essentially two arms of the same octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And William actually definitely knows that from personal experience. He can talk a little more about his case, but yeah, he I think knows what it's like to be in Yemi's shoes.
Does William want to talk a little bit about his case?
¿Quieres hablar un poco sobre su caso?
Sí. El año pasado, en marzo, 22, fue un día martes, oficiales de inmigración entraron a mi apartamento buscando a otra persona que no se encontraba ahí en su lugar, y ellos al verme, pues ellos me arrestaron en ese momento. Y de ahí fue procesado con migración, y de ahí estuve un tiempo en una prisión de migración. Después de eso me trasladaron a Covington, en Samani, porque estaba enfrentando un proceso de reentre. Estuve 10 meses en ese lugar, luchando por poder salir. Es algo muy frustrante tener que pensar en tu familia, en cómo están ellos, si están bien o están mal, de tener.
So last year at 22 de marzo, last year on March 22nd, I was in my house. My family was sleeping when immigration agents came into my house. They were looking for somebody who used to live there, but when they saw me, they arrested me. And so from there, I entered into this process. They took me to an immigration detention center, which is essentially immigration jail. And from there, when I tried to argue my case and get out, they actually transferred me to federal prison in St. Tammany. And so I spent 10 months there fighting my case, fighting to get out and be with my family. And I can say personally that it's extremely frustrating to be stuck inside of a jail thinking about your family and how you just want to be with them.
Fue algo muy doloroso para mi hijo, él fue el que, creo que él fue el que sufrió más de todo esto, porque al día de hoy él sigue como frustrado de que cuando él mira a un oficial, un policía, él me dice, hey daddy, look the police, como diciendo, ten cuidado.
It was extremely painful for my son. I think he was the one who suffered most of all, and even to this day, whenever he sees a policeman or any law enforcement, he'll say, look daddy, police, as if to say, you know, watch out, be careful.
Yeah, I think something that we forget often is the unintended, or the consequences, you know, and those spreadings of fear that this all kind of lands upon, and so that outcry and the spreading of fear amongst, you know, children and families, and we're separating families, and that's something that I think as a nation we pretend to value, or we, you know, verbally say that we value, but in our actions, I don't necessarily think that plays out. And this is a big example of that.
Mm-hmm. Yo creo que esto es un ejemplo del hecho de que nosotros decimos el bienestar de las familias, pero al final de cuentas, cuando pasa algo así, tiene muchos impactos, no nada más en la persona, sino que en los niños, en la comunidad entera que se siente aterrorizada. Creo que eso es un ejemplo.
Sí, creo que somos seres humanos, todos merecemos un cierto, todos merecemos respeto. Creo que sería algo mejor que todos, como dicen muchos, nos quisiéramos unos a otros y no nos frustrábamos tanto así como haciendo esos tipos de casos, porque son muy difíciles.
Yeah, we're human beings, and I think like any other human being, we deserve respect. We deserve to be able to live without fear and having that sense of being peace, of being in community. I think that it doesn't make sense to have cases like these where people are just, it only harms communities.
Yeah. And something that I noticed that was really powerful on Monday was the solidarity between different communities within New Orleans. And so we had, you know, Youth Breakout, and I know Congreso have a really strong relationship, and there was a lot of solidarity between undocumented workers and the Black community. And I think, I don't know if y'all want to talk a little bit about the the relationships between those communities kind of standing up for one another, because they typically have been in giant systems of oppression.
Entonces algo que me impactó de lunes es ver que ustedes estaban en solidaridad con otros grupos. Entonces yo sé que hay una alianza muy fuerte entre Breakout, que es un grupo de jóvenes transgéneros de color, de la comunidad afroamericana. Yo sé que estos son comunidades que han sido muy impactadas por sistemas de opresión. Entonces fue poderoso verlos así unidos. ¿Podrían hablar sobre eso?
Sí, eso es lo bonito de ver que la comunidad se une, no importando el color, la raza, o de dónde vienes, de qué es lo que haces, a qué te dedicas. Eso es algo muy bonito, es un ejemplo muy hermoso de ver una unidad así. Y bueno, mi forma de pensar, yo siempre he dicho que yo no tengo por qué juzgar a alguien que tal vez no conozco, o tal vez no sé qué tipo de vida tiene, o qué es lo que ha pasado anteriormente.
Yes, it's a beautiful thing when we see our communities coming together the way that they did yesterday, where it doesn't matter the color of your skin, the language that you speak, what culture you're from, or you know what you do. The point is that we can all get together and respect each other. And really, I think what it all comes down to is that we shouldn't judge other people, because we don't know what sorts of life experiences those people have had, and what they've been through. And I guess I'll just add that, I think that that's exactly what we were trying to highlight in yesterday's march, this idea that our communities are stronger, much stronger, when we are fighting for all of our liberation, right? And that's why yesterday's march, we definitely wanted to highlight Yemi's case, but we were also fighting for broader issues as well. But we were fighting to highlight HB 676 and HB 525, two anti-immigrant bills that are currently making their way through the state legislature. At the same time, we were also saying, okay, we need to stop these anti-immigrant bills, but we also need to lend our support to the JRI Justice Reinvestment Initiative bills. This is a package of 10 bills that would have a major effect on mass incarceration in our state. And raising our voices as well to say, on the local level, how can it be that we have a mayor who's saying that he's standing up to Trump's bullying and all of this stuff, but we're about to pass a $40 million criminalization plan and a jail expansion, which is estimated to take up to $97 million. So what we're saying is, you know, all of our communities are impacted by these things. I think Areli, an organizer with Breakout, who's also a Congresso member, said it best when she said, the violence isn't going to stop in New Orleans until we have a government that's willing to invest in jobs, education, and a living wage, as opposed to more jail beds and more criminalization of our communities.
Yeah, that's something that I think is a really strong point, is that a sanctuary city, I mean, our mayor says that he wants us to be a sanctuary city. There's no legal definition of what a sanctuary city is. It's just some place that is instituting policies that are supporting undocumented workers and are supporting people to not be oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the passing of these bills, which if you want to talk a little bit more about what that means, it's kind of negating those words or those intentions of wanting to be a sanctuary city.
Mm-hmm. Entonces, yo creo que sí, eso es muy interesante lo que mencionaste de los diferentes cosas que estaban luchando ayer. Tenemos un alcalde que dice que él quiere tener una ciudad santuario, y sabemos que no hay una definición legal de ciudad santuaria, nomás es una ciudad que está tratando de pasar pólizas para favorecer a los trabajadores inmigrantes y indocumentados, pero a la misma vez tenés estos biles que amenazan a todo eso. Yeah, when you say the bills would threaten all of that, you mean the state bills?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're currently in a position where New Orleans has finally taken a huge step forward in passing anti-bias policies, both at the jail and with the police. And that was through years-long fights that the Congress of Day Laborers definitely contributed to. It was through highlighting a pattern of horrific racial profiling. It was through highlighting cases like those of Antonio Ocampo, Andelmi Valencia, people who got lost in the system at Orleans Parish Prison because of the collaboration between immigration and the jail. So Antonio, for example, he was only authorized to be held for 48 hours. He ended up getting lost in the jail for 6 months. So it's through all of those fights that we've been able to win these really strong policies. But now HB 676 is threatening that. They're saying that if HB 676 passes, New Orleans would lose eligibility for state funding and be subject potentially to a fine of up to $5,000 a day. And if HB 525 were to pass, New Orleans would be held liable for any sort of damage caused by an individual who had had an ICE hold placed on them, but that ICE hold was not honored.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that these bills really mirror hateful bills that we've seen in other places around the country. They're no different, and hopefully we'll be able to defeat them the way that we did last year. But in speaking to your question about the local level too,
mm-hmm.
it's not enough to say, well, okay, finally we've passed these anti-bias, anti-discrimination policies that pertain to people's immigration status. We need to go much further than that if we're gonna, you know, go backwards from where we are right now in terms of being the mass incarceration capital of the world. It's not enough to say, you know, we're not going to collaborate with an agency, a federal agency, that commits civil rights violations regularly if we're going to have a city that incarcerates people at more than double the national average and people are going to be in a local jail instead.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nonsensical to think that you could have a sanctuary city knowing, you know, what our incarceration practices are here.
Yeah. And what are the action steps that you all are calling individuals and organizations and communities to kind of take, not only with trying to put a stop to the state level bills, but to put into place the JRI?
The legislative package for criminal justice reform.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, is like a fourfold question, but then also for Yami's case,
mm-hmm.
And cases like Yami, and how can people support and organize?
Entonces, ¿cómo la gente puede contribuir y organizar, por ejemplo, para parar las leyes estatales? Y para pasar este paquete de leyes que van a reformar el sistema de justicia criminal y después eventualmente también para el caso de Yami. Entonces, ¿quieres hablar de cómo la gente puede contribuir para el caso de Yami? De las llamadas,
sí, creo que para apoyar el caso de Yami tendríamos que hacer llamadas a ICE pidiéndoles a ellos de que puedan pagar la deportación. Hacerles ver conciencia de que hay dos niñas que están en riesgo de quedarse solas, y creo que eso no es el fundamento de una familia, separarlas.
So I think that for Jamie's case, if people want to get involved, the main way that they can do that right now is making calls to immigration and helping them to realize that if they make this decision to deport Jamie, her two daughters are going to be left alone, and that really isn't the foundation of how we want to treat families in this country, and that it makes no sense for two little girls to be left alone. There's no reason for it.
También tenemos hay una página en Facebook que es el Congreso de Jornaleros, Congreso of Neighbors,
mm-hmm.
and hay reuniones también. Pero yo creo que para apoyar y parar todo esto, que es estas leyes anti-inmigrantes, creo que es necesario que la comunidad apoye, que alce la voz, que no sean solo unos pocos, sino que sean todos, porque es la única forma en la que se puede parar estas leyes anti-inmigrantes, porque ellos se van a dar cuenta que hay más gente que apoya, y entonces creo que eso sería lo mejor, que todos apoyemos, que toda la comunidad.
You can follow our Facebook page at Congreso de Jornaleros, Congress of Day Laborers, and we're going to be giving updates on Yami's case there and letting you know how you can plug into that fight, is what William was saying. And the other thing is that for the state fight, it's going to take a whole lot of people, right? It's not going to work if it's only a few people who are raising their voices, and that's why we really need everyone as a whole to work together to make sure that we stop these anti-immigrant bills and get the other package passed. And I would say that similarly, there are always changes day to day in the way that those bills are moving and the way that the JRI bills are moving. But any time that people want to stay engaged with their elected officials, I think that's really positive. So, like William was saying, calling the ICE office and saying what you think about this case, right? Supposedly ICE is working for us, they're using taxpayer money, and raising your voice and saying this is not what community safety looks like in any way, shape, or form. And similarly, calling your state representatives and saying, I don't want to see anti-immigrant legislation coming out of this year's session. What I want to see is you prioritizing the passage of bills that are actually going to correct our mass incarceration problem. And William also mentioned that there's always the Wednesday meetings, the Congress of Day Laborers, they're open to the public, so they're in Spanish, but folks can come out if they want to hear updates on the ways that things are moving in the Capitol or here locally. They're always welcome to come on Wednesdays.
Do y'all have any other points or remarks that you want to say about the work that you do, about Yemi's case specifically, and about your story, William?
¿Hay más cosas que quieran compartir sobre el trabajo que hacen generalmente, sobre el caso de Yemi, sobre tu caso, William? Cualquier comentario que quieran hacer.
Bueno, creo que sobre mi caso, el próximo 12 de julio tengo una cita con oficiales de ICE. Obviamente estoy un poquito asustado por eso, porque uno no sabe qué es lo que puede pasar. Puede ser de que ahí mismo los oficiales de ICE puedan arrestarte y pues, regresar otra vez a estar encerrado, o puede ser que un día me den otra cita en otro tiempo. So, no hay nada seguro y eso es muy asustante.
I guess I'll share a little bit more about the situation that I'm in to tell you how the story ended, which is that even though I was released from immigration custody, thanks to the fight that the community put up, I have a check-in with ICE in July. And so what that means is that when I report to ICE, I could either be rearrested and go through the whole same thing over again, be in jail away from my family, or they could just decide to give me another date to check in. So obviously I'm a little scared about that, and that's what's on my mind, and that's the situation that I'm in.
And how is that affecting your family and your day-to-day life?
¿Y eso cómo afecta a tu familia o tu vida diaria?
La afecta, el efecto puede ser muy grande. Porque mi hijo está acostumbrado a verme todos los días, a que yo pueda estar con él. Yo igual también creo que no podría vivir sin verlo. Cuando yo estuve encerrado sentía que un gran dolor porque no puedes estar con él o con tu esposa. Y eso afecta mucho emocionalmente.
It makes a really big impact on our day-to-day life. My son, I mean, we see each other every day. We live together, and I think that I wouldn't be able to stand being away from him again the way that we were, or being away from my wife. I mean, emotionally, it's just really hard to live in this way where you don't know if you're going to be torn apart again.
Creo que somos seres humanos. El separar a una familia, creo que eso afecta a más que todo a los niños. Obviamente los niños son los futuros de una nación, de un país, y los niños van creciendo y van creciendo afectados. Y ellos toman como ese, pueden tomar lo mismo, pueden tomar lo malo. Yo creo que creo que las personas deberían imaginarse una vida distinta, como que todos estuviéramos unidos, todas las congregaciones y los blancos, gente de color, hispanos, vivieran en armonía. Creo que todo sería algo muy, muy diferente.
I just want to add that most of all, I want people to know that we're human beings and our families also matter. And that we say that children are the future of our nation, and then we do things like these, and you never know how a child is going to recover from that, if they're going to recover, if they're going to bounce back. And what I would like people to imagine is just a different life, a different world in which all communities, whether you're white or a person of color, if we could live harmoniously, and how different that would be and how much better that would be.
Yo, en lo personal, en mi caso, yo no he venido a hacerle daño a nadie. Nosotros salimos a veces de nuestros países porque tal vez tenemos algún tipo de necesidad o estamos huyendo de algo y queremos un mejor futuro para nuestras familias. Y por eso es que estamos acá en este país. Pero no venimos a hacerle daño a nadie, solo venimos a trabajar y a tener una mejor vida para nuestras familias.
And in my personal case, I can say that I'm not here to hurt anybody. A lot of times we'll leave our countries because we need to, because we're fleeing from something, because every human being has necessities. But that doesn't mean that we're here to hurt anybody. And it hurts me that we're interpreted in that way. And let me think about your question, too, if there's anything else to say. I mean, I think just continuing to emphasize that the fight continues, right? That all of these different forms of oppression are linked, like you said. It's no mistake that Yaimie was arrested in Gretna, which is the arrest capital of the world. Here in New Orleans, we're the mass incarceration capital of the world. Gretna is the arrest capital of the world. And that's why she's in the situation that she's in, right? And that we as a country really need to take a hard look at ourselves and decide, are we going to be a country that continues to put people in cages and then justifies it by saying that that person was worthless because they were trying to survive and that's why they crossed the border, or they were trying to survive and that's why they sold, weed on the street. We need to decide if we're going to be a country that cages people or a country that supports people. And I think folks can plug into that fight right now by taking action in cases like Yaimie's.
I heard no comment from the Assistant Field Office Director of ICE about Yaimie's case. If you want to support Yaimie, to help reunite her with her daughters, you can call ICE offices and raise your concerns. Stories like Yaimie's, like William's, are all too common. Thank you, William, for sharing your story. Thank you for supporting Yaimie.
The power of the people don't stop.